Next cases are 04357 and 04363. Terry McNamara and Dorothy Hensley versus the City of Rittman and the City of Columbus. Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Watch your time.
I'd like to emphasize a couple of points that probably weren't touched upon in the brief as hard as they should have been. When you look at a piece of property, what the Supreme Court, what you have said is that the airspace above your property, you've got a property interest in your airspace for as much as you need to use and enjoy the land. Those were Royal and Willoughby Hills. There was one case that I omitted that I should have put in about surface water. And that was City of Mansfield versus Ballyette, 65 Ohio State 451. And that says basically that when you have land along a river, your riparian rights, and the city dumps sewage into it, then there's a taking of your riparian rights. And they have to compensate you. So we have airspace, they have to compensate you, it's a taking. There's no title, but they have to compensate you. Riparian rights, no title, but they have to compensate you. And I believe groundwater should be no different. And I think the court has in essence said that in Chance versus BP Chemical.
Are both, help me clarify the facts, all the petitioners here restored to water? I know in one of the cases, apparently the water has been restored after 3 years, I think it was, but.
Restoration, I think all of the houses have water that comes in through the faucet. The quality of that water and the quantity of that water is not what it was before in a lot of instances. But yes, I think all of my clients do have running water inside the house, sufficient probably to meet the Board of Health standards.
I couldn't tell from the briefs if any of those in any cases, the taking of the whatever it was, the property in the case, was eventually restored. Usually we think of a takings case as an interstate interchange or something where the property is permanently taken from the property owner by the public entity. Here, the public entities restored the water. We can argue about quality, but that's not, I think the important issue I'm seeking an answer to is are there cases in which property has been taken for some period of time and then restored, returned to the landowner in which there's been a takings?
Well, I guess I need to answer that in the reason the water is restored in a lot of these cases is because my clients spent thousands and thousands of dollars of their own money to restore it. So it's not like the governmental entity handed us water. In some cases, the government did restore it, but it was only after my clients spent thousands of dollars.
Well, if this is not a sovereign immunity issue, then they could recover damages or a tort.
No, they can't.
Well, but if it was a private entity that did this, they could recover damages.
Right, under Klein, but
so because of sovereign immunity, arguably they cannot here. We don't have that before us, but
well. It was before this court in 98. I came up here on this very case, Hensley,
right.
And the court dismissed the appeal as improvidently granted
right.
Under the state law claim. So I did come up before this court, and this court heard oral arguments, the briefing, and it was dismissed as improvidently granted on the state law claim. And the Ninth Circuit, or the Ninth District's opinion, then held sway that there was governmental immunity for this. So I'm only in federal court and before you, because I've exhausted the state law and was not successful.
I understand that, but.
Well, was there a restoration, I don't know the facts well enough in the airspace cases and the City of Mansfield cases, the subsequent history, to determine if the City of Mansfield cleaned up the sewage in the Mohican River or if the airports and the airlines in the Royal cases raised up their flights so that it was restored to a certain period after a certain period of time. I can only presume that it was. I can't imagine that the, you know, the airplanes just kept coming lower and lower, and there was more and more sewage pumped in. So to answer your question, I believe, yes, there was restoration eventually in these cases. But the issue before you is, was there a property interest to be taken in the first place? And I think, based on the airspace cases and Chance versus BP, the extent of damages that we may be entitled to, because the taking was for a year or 2 years or 5 years or permanently, I think is an issue for the federal courts, assuming we win here, and back in the trial court. But the property issue and the taking is what's before this court, and I think that the airspace cases and the case I cited indicate that, yeah, even if it's for a period of time less than perpetuity, such as a highway take or something like that, that there is a taking of property, and the extent of the time that it was taken or the damages that
What is the property that we have underground water flowing through your client's properties?
Yes.
What is taken? Is it the right to use that water, or is it actual? I mean, you can't dip down. You can't. The opposite property owner can't declare that this water at this instant in time is my water.
That's right.
What is it that's taken?
Well, there's two things that are taken. One, it's the use and enjoyment of their house, because you can't live in a property that depends on a well without groundwater. So it's their property interest in their house and the surface that's taken. And this court has clearly said time after time after time that the property is the ability to use and fully enjoy what you have, and you can't. In Columbus, you can't live in a house. Or in Franklin County, you can't live in a house that doesn't have potable water.
So Counsel, is that the case, though? Have these people been deprived of the use of their property? Have they vacated their property? Has it been condemned by the health department? Has any of that occurred here?
No.
Because they restored the water to some degree, the property owner did, to make that course of action not necessary.
Or the Board of Health just didn't fully enforce the agreement because they weren't going to put people out in the street. Can you imagine the public relations nightmare if the Board of Health would come in and evict 30 families because they didn't have quite enough potable water to meet the Board of Health regulations? We're talking about practicality here. People
without
water.
Well, didn't you start your argument stating that they all have sufficient water to meet the standards with the Board of Health?
Yes, they do now. Yeah.
Okay.
But right afterwards, and for the months and years afterwards, some of them did not. But they eventually did replace it. But in that intervening time, the Board of Health is not going to put people out on the street. That's just not the way the world works, with all due respect, Your Honor. That would be a nightmare.
Okay, so what you're saying, though, they have not been deprived of the use of their property.
No, that's incorrect. They have been. They couldn't take showers. They couldn't take baths. They couldn't have people over. They couldn't water their yards. They couldn't make use of their house like they normally would have because they didn't have any water or didn't have the amount that they needed. So, yes, they have been deprived of the use of their house, of their property.
Counsel, if I understand, you're saying that the issue that we have to establish is whether there's the property interest in the groundwater, and then it would be a matter for the federal court to determine whether the use or enjoyment or the diminution
yes.
for the temporary.
Temporary and what the damages are. The damage issues and the extent of time are not before this court.
Okay.
It is simply whether there's a property interest.
Okay.
And
Counsel,
yes.
Yeah, would you address that? Because as Justice Lanzinger indicated, what you've been talking about so far, and unfortunately most of your, I was lost when I read your brief, as to what the issue was, because you didn't get around to the certified question. The certified question is there a property interest?
Right.
What you've been talking about and what you talked about in your brief is the damages, temporary or that kind of thing. But what you really have to convince us of is the answer to the certified question.
And the answer is yes. The airspace cases, the city of Mansfield versus Balliet, those are cases where there was a property interest without title being held in something. Because the whole argument has been, well, you don't have title to groundwater. You don't have a deed, you don't have title to it. So you can't have a property interest in it. And the airspace cases show you don't have to have title to the airspace in order to have a property interest taken.
But the ad coelum doctrine says you do.
Pardon me?
The ad coelum doctrine says you do have title to it, doesn't it?
Well, but this court has said in Chance versus BP that that doctrine no longer is the law of Ohio. You don't own to the sun and to the center of the earth.
Well, if you don't, doesn't that answer the certified question?
Well, I think
that— You want us to really reverse that portion of Chance, do you?
No, I don't. I want you to follow Chance. Because Chance, the facts in Chance were that you could put forward a trespass action, even though the inject date was put 2,600 feet below the ground into the brine or the groundwater at that point. You don't have title to the brine or groundwater, but yet Chance said you have the ability to maintain a trespass action if that damages your use and enjoyment of the subsurface.
So your view is that the ad coelum doctrine, that you own it as high as you can use it and as low to the center of the earth as you can use it, has been violated because your clients were able to use the water beneath the surface of their property, and they've been denied the right to continued use of it, and it's been interfered with by the city.
Yes.
That's your position.
Yes, that's our position.
And you want us to follow that ad coelum doctrine to the extent that it was breached in this instance.
And as I indicate, there are two ways to get there. One, you can say we have a property interest in the groundwater, or you can say you have a property interest in the surface and your ability to use the surface has been denied because you no longer have groundwater to use your home to live in and as you would. So there are two sort of ways.
Well, counsel, the Sixth Circuit's certified question is, does an Ohio homeowner have a property interest in so much of the groundwater located beneath the land of the owner's property as is necessary to the use and enjoyment of the owner's home?
Yes. And Chance
simply put,
I'm sorry.
You argue the answer is yes.
Yes, yes. And I've said that in my brief three or four times, and you can get there two different ways. You can get there by saying Chance versus BP says you have a property interest in so much of the groundwater. Or you can get there by saying that you have a property interest in the surface, and this interferes with your ability to use and enjoy the surface, mainly your home, because you can't live in a home and use and enjoy it without having groundwater, without having a source of water in your house.
Accepting your second alternative, would that be creating a new principle in your view?
No, it wouldn't, because this court has said back for a number of years that the use of property is the right to fully and enjoy it, to fully use and enjoy it, and if you can't, then it's a taking of that property.
And that's so, where you analogize to the cases?
Yes, to the airspace cases and the riparian rights cases. You don't need title there, but yet this court has previously held that a taking, that interference with your riparian rights or your airspace rights without title to them is a taking of your property. I'd like to reserve my last 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Mr. Drake. Mr. Drake, the red light will light when you have used 7.5 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Dan Drake. I'm an assistant city attorney for respondent City of Columbus in the Hensley versus the New Albany case that has been certified and consolidated with the McNamara versus the City of Rittman. I'll be sharing my time equally with Mr. Mel Lute, my colleague from the City of Rittman. We respectfully urge this court to answer the question certified by the Sixth Circuit in the negative. That a homeowner in Ohio does not have a constitutionally protected property right in so much of the groundwater underlying a person's home as is necessary for the reasonable use and enjoyment of that home. And there are many reasons why this should be the answer adopted by the court in this case, the first of which is that it would require, as the court may already have said to Mr. Edwards, an overruling of established legal precedent, including this court's decision in Chance versus BP Chemicals. It will depart from—
Wait, I don't follow you there. I read that in your brief, but I don't follow why
Well, to the extent...
The affirmative answer to the certified question wouldn't be consistent with chance.
Our position is that chance is controlling, Your Honor. That's correct.
And an affirmative, why is an affirmative answer inconsistent with the holding in Chance?
It's my reading of the decision of this court in Chance that there is no property right in the underground
And what page
waters.
Of Chance does it say that?
Well, Your Honor embarrasses me at this point, and I cannot point to the page in Chance where that statement is made, but there is a provision in Chance that says, I believe Justice Resnick wrote, that underground water, this was a trespass case, and that underground waters were not a property right, and insofar as the right exists only in trespass within a reasonable
distance. I've just read Chance. It doesn't appear to say that at all.
The applicable authority, Your Honor, that we rely on in our brief is the Ninth District Court of Appeals case in Smith versus Summit County, in which the Court of Appeals...
So we should ignore our own opinions and follow the Ninth District?
No, I don't
district.
Think it's necessary to rely on Chance, but I think it's persuasive. I think that the decision in Smith versus Summit County is actually the state of the law in Ohio with respect to the ownership, if any, of underground property rights.
Counsel, I'm having a hard time understanding. Before the case of Frazier versus Brown was overturned, an adjoining property owner could use as much of the water as they wanted, including the neighbor's water, which
That's
is what
right.
you did with this ditch. You took the neighbor's water away, and that was overturned.
That was overturned by this court's decision in Klein versus American Aggregates, Your Honor.
And that essentially held you can't do that anymore without compensating your neighbor.
That's the case with respect to claims arising in tort, with respect to competing users of water, subsurface waters, underlying the ground of adjoining property owners.
Wouldn't the underlying presumption of Klein then be that a landowner has a property interest in the reasonable use of the water?
Well, this court said in Klein that the decision was based on a rule of use, not a rule of ownership. And this court has had other opportunities since Klein to consider to extend the issue of whether ownership of underground waters arises to the level of a constitutionally protected property right, as has the legislature, and when the legislature in 1988 adopted that statute giving a statutory action.
So the right to use would not be protected under the takings clause?
That's correct, Your Honor. That's our position, and that's what we think the established legal precedent is. Also, the precedent of all of our surrounding neighbors in this region, surrounding states have adopted exactly the same principle. There is no precedent.
The right to use and enjoyment of your property is a fundamental right. Would you?
The fundamental right is not unrestricted. That's correct.
But it is a fundamental right.
It is the right to enjoyment and use of one's property has been the law of Ohio for some time, that it is
but
a fundamental right.
But you've just said taking away the reasonable use of one's groundwater is not protected.
Well,
except
that this court and the legislature have determined that there is a reasonable use doctrine that applies to both adjoining property owners. And so it seems to me that if the court says there is a right to the reasonable use of water by one property owner, there is an equivalent right to the use of reasonable use of the water by the adjoining property owner as well. And when you balance those reasonable uses, Mr. Edwards already conceded the way in which the city of Columbus utilized the underground waters in its case was, in fact, for a public works project to serve the greater area of Northeast.
But that goes to the issue of damages.
Actually, it goes to the issue of reasonable use, Your Honor. And the question is whether or not the temporary inconvenience to the petitioners here rose to the level of a taking by the government of some fundamental right, and we suggest it did not.
The city takes property on a regular basis. Your city does.
Yes.
It's the right of eminent domain. And sometimes those takings are temporary rather than permanent.
That's correct.
And you compensate the landowner for a temporary taking as well as a permanent taking,
we do
you not?
What I'm suggesting is that the record is replete with the evidence of what the City of Columbus, in fact, did for the property owners in this case during the course of its project. The passage of time dims memory, and as far as the rain and the flooding is concerned, it's hard to recall the drought that was in place in central Ohio in 1991 and 92, when there were significant water use restrictions among the entire community of central Ohio. People were not allowed to water their flowers, not allowed to wash their cars, not allowed to water the golf courses, fill their swimming pools. In fact, normal household usage was restricted, except for the petitioners, where the City of Columbus was providing, at no cost, unlimited supplies of water at their request to do with however they saw fit and to use their homes. And as Mr. Edwards said, to this date, not one petitioner was forced to leave their homes.
But how does that help us answer the certified question? The certified question, both lawyers here are doing a fine job of talking about damages and arguing the damage question, but we're asked a simple, direct question. Is there a property interest or is there not?
And we say there is not. The underground waters are so transient unstable and uncertain of measurement. The question, in fact, asks the court to apply a very subjective standard. Would the court be able to answer, for example, what is the amount of water a particular homeowner is entitled to, and in what quality, before the government's interference rises to the level of a taking? It seems to me that if the court adopts a principle—
That question isn't in front of us.
Well, I think it is in the Sixth Circuit's question, because the court is asking, is there a property right in so much of the water as is necessary for use and enjoyment? What is that? In the case of underground waters, we do not believe, and we don't think that the—
Well, presumably the Sixth Circuit or the federal courts are going to be able to determine that in the playing out of this litigation. But we're asked a very simple question, which is an important one.
Well, the point of fact is, if it's a fundamental property right, it ought to be easily determined as to its scope and detail. Mr. Edwards has said to you that none of his clients have had to leave their homes, although they suspect that the quantity and quality of their water isn't
Counsel,
the same.
I am constantly impressed by the complicated issues of valuation and other issues that judges and juries are able to get their arms around and come up with reasonable answers. But that's not why we're here today.
Well, why we are here at the Sixth Circuit's request has to do with the question of whether this court will establish a right that hitherto has not been recognized in Ohio, and that is whether a property owner, a homeowner particularly, has a fundamental property right that rises to the level of a constitutional protection in some quantity of the use of underground waters. And I think that it is difficult to articulate a principle of law that has uniform application for several circumstances. Certainly the facts of these cases don't invite or require the court to adopt that principle, given the circumstances under which the petitioners found themselves. We think that after 13 years of litigation, that the petitioners who in 1999 for the first time conjured up a claim of a taking under the Constitution are not entitled to the kind of finding that this court has asked to be made by the petition.
Mr. Drake, is your objection to the fact that these are underground moving waters and that it can't be finitely determined? Or is your objection to the concept of ownership ad coelum?
I don't adopt that principle.
Which principle?
The ownership is to the sky and to the center of the earth.
But that was reported in Chance by our court, was it not?
It was, but the legislature has adopted.
So your view is contrary to what this court's already said?
No, Your Honor.
Help me with that then.
My view is totally consistent with what this court has already said with respect to a property owner's ability to recover damages from an adjoining property owner in tort for the non-affect, if you will, upon their right to the use of their underground property rights, whatever those happen to be. And in Chance, that was the argument that those property rights, just the mere fact of the migration of those chemicals, was a trespass,
right,
although an indirect one, and that interfered with the use of their property, an enjoyment of their property, a stigmatization that they're sitting on top of hazardous waste, if you will.
Yes.
I don't think that the position of the respondents in this case is contradictory with those principles. What we are saying here is that, unlike riparian rights, underground waters are so transient and because of the action of the legislature in this court's decision in Klein now in tort, we are in a position of balancing the uses of adjoining property owners anyhow. There is no fixed right of action of an adjoining property owner for an invasion of those subsurface rights, and there should not be. I will yield to my colleague,
Mr. Blue. Yes, about 3 minutes.
May it please the court, Mel Lute on behalf of the city of Rittman. Factually, our cases are about the same, although mine takes place in a rural setting, but is indicative of what's going on throughout the state of Ohio, and that points up the importance of answering this question, again, in the negative. With respect to the situation we find ourselves in, if you look outside the window here, the river is rising, there's water everywhere, but that's not always the case. In fact, a lot of times, smaller communities like the city of Rittman, they have to look elsewhere than within their corporate boundaries to find water. In this case, they found a well field with a decent aquifer. But the underlying premise of the petitioner's argument is flawed, because the petitioner operates under the assumption that a person with an individual residential well in Ohio is going to have a guaranteed, absolute access to water forever. And the fact of the matter is they don't. The aquifers dry up, they move, they change.
Those are all facts that a jury ultimately, if this case ever gets to a jury, can weigh the balancing, all of those things that are required under the statute. But the simple question is there a protected property interest? Does one who owns lands have a property interest in the reasonable use of the water?
The issue, Your Honor, it's asking the court, the certified question is asking the court to elevate what is a use-based system we have right now. Under Klein, under the statute, it's use-based, it's measurable, it's quantifiable. It's asking this court and this state to take that use-based system and now elevate it to the level of a property right, which puts it into an entirely different realm. It raises it on a level of title.
You own a home.
It gives it certainty. Yes, sir.
Title of that gives you the right to use it.
It gives me many rights, Your Honor.
Yeah, but not in perpetuity, only so long as you own it.
But it's there. It's fixed. It's quantifiable. It's there forever. Underground water is not, by its very nature, quantifiable and certain. For example, and I understand that you're looking at this from a, you may perceive this as a damages argument, but if you follow it for a second, if I run my dishwasher, I got both kids in the shower, and I have a washing machine going, and I can do it for 2 weeks, and then suddenly down the street, the county puts in a well, and then now I can only run one shower and my dishwasher, I may perceive that I've had a diminution in my availability of underground water from my residential well. How much is that? How's that going to be measured? How do I connect it? It's underground water. It shifts. It moves. Is it a result of a drought? Is it a result of atmospheric conditions, seismic events?
That's what you have expert witnesses for. I mean, why you have juries. We're asked the legal question here. You all just want to talk about the damages, and maybe in these cases the damages are de minimis to the point that there isn't a taking. But the fundamental question that's being asked would seem to be a vitally important one to every property owner in the state.
Your Honor, the Klein case is 20 years old. If we look at the progression of the law in Ohio since then, the court has been faced, many courts around the state have been faced with underground water issues. And plaintiffs time and time again have tried to articulate property right arguments. Granted, it wasn't until very recently that the plaintiffs in both the Rittman case and the Hensley case came up with this constitutional taking, but they have always tried to make that property right argument, and it has been rejected repeatedly because it is unworkable, because it is illogical. If you look at the case law from other states, petitioner's counsel says that you should ignore cases.
What's unworkable and illogical about the notion that you have a property interest in the reasonable use of the water under your property?
Well, because on a logical level, we are trying to put something in a box that cannot be contained. It is a natural element. You can't hold it in your hand. You can't quantify it. You cannot rely upon it to be there as a consequence of human behavior.
I bet you'd be surprised at the science today in that regard.
Actually, I was surprised, Your Honor. The hydrogeologists that we looked to in this case, as lawyers, were not experts, so we looked to the experts. And I read the Frazier case, and I read the Klein case, where it says the mysteries of the underground have been resolved. We now have the scientific capacity to analyze and find these underground aquifers. The reality, when we talk to the hydrogeologists, even the ones representing the petitioners, is they don't know. They still don't know. It's the same reason the weatherman can't tell you exactly how much rain we're going to have. The mysteries of the elements, you know, they prevail, and this is one of them.
They don't know everything, but they know a lot.
Well, they're certainly learning more, but not enough to elevate this to a property right.
Let me ask you a legal question. Should we determine, in determining the answer to the question posed by the Sixth Circuit, should we consider other remedies that are available to persons who are aggrieved, as the petitioners are here, or does this question stand on its own?
You mean in terms of, say, mandamus or?
Sure, mandamus,
trespass,
injunction,
et cetera.
Trespass, all sorts of remedies. I mean, that we can think of nuisance, could be nuisance. Is it legitimate for us to consider other remedies in determining the answer to the question?
I think, Your Honor, in the answer to the question will open the door to, let's say Ohio does recognize a property right in so much of the underground water as a property owner needs to use and enjoy his property. That is going to then be a touchstone, frankly, for petitioners and plaintiffs throughout the state to come to court to get relief on a number of bases, whether it's, you know, nuisance, whether it's trespass, whatever it is, because it again elevates the status of that underground water access to a level that is unprecedented, not only in this state, but throughout the Midwest, certainly, and throughout the country. If you look at some of the water cases from out west, petitioner's counsel indicates we should ignore those cases from out west because it's different out there. But the fact is, water is scarce out there, and it's at times scarce here.
Well, counsel, when you get to that stage, doesn't 15-21-17, it seems that the legislature adopted a pretty sensible statute.
Reasonable use, Your Honor.
To determine what the reasonable use and the weighing involved in that.
That's right, based upon use. That is correct, right. And that is very workable.
You've used your time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Edwards, you saved 2 minutes of your time, but we took respondents well over their time, so take 3 minutes if you need it.
Thank you, Your Honor. To answer the question, yes, it's a protected property interest. Why? The restatement of torts, as Judge O'Malley, the district court judge indicated when she found that there was a protected property interest, the restatement says, this section also recognizes that the right to withdraw groundwater is a property right that may be granted and sold to others. That's what the restatement notes say in section 858 that this court adopted in Klein. The first illustration in the restatement, the city of A purchases a right to withdraw water from the owner of a tract of land. It draws a large number of wells. It dewaters people. It's responsible. Clearly, the right to use can be sold. It can be sold to other people. The restatement intended for it to be a property right. The mysteries of groundwater. Well, I'm sure that's news to this court, because as this court clearly set out in the Village of Pleasant City versus the Division of Reclamation. I'd like this to be my expert witness. This court clearly understands groundwater, and the science of groundwater is clearly understood in this state.
Mr. Edwards, let me ask you, much of civil justice is based upon searching and establishing remedies for harms that have occurred to people. Should we consider other remedies that are available to your clients in determining whether there's a property interest here?
No. This ought to stand on its own because it's outside the scope of the certified question. The certified question is, is there a recognized property interest in so much of the groundwater? And I don't know of any other case where this court is discussing protected property interest and said, well, it might be, however, since we have this other remedy, we're not going to declare it to be a protected property interest. I know of no jurisprudence in this state that indicates that.
Does the fact that in Chance we said that it was not an absolute property right, does that affect the outcome?
No, it doesn't, because you still allowed a trespass action to go forward for pollution that was put 2,600 feet below the ground on the theory that if they could reasonably prove reasonable use and enjoyment at trial, as the justices have indicated, then you could maintain your trespass action. That goes more towards the damages issue as opposed to anything else. Finally, opens all kinds of questions. Those questions are already open. Klein is a remedy for everybody in this state unless the actor that does it to you is a government. So this is not opening the doors to anything. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for governmental immunity. The case would be over. It'd be tried in state court because I'd have tried it under Klein.
Although,
not,
if
not
you're
based on a property right.
Pardon me, not based on a property right, yeah.
Reason for my question, frankly, is that we search for remedies. And what the Sixth Circuit is saying is, this a remedy? Does the state of Ohio recognize a property right in underwater water to enjoy one's home? Is that the best remedy here? That's one way to look at it.
Yes. However, that has already been foreclosed by the holding in the state court on immunity, and the federal court now does, when you exhaust your state remedies, you have a takings claim in federal court, and they're asking a very narrow question here, and I don't anticipate that yes, it's not a property right, because if they had won on this, then they wouldn't have needed federal court. I don't know of any case under Ohio law that holds that.
Ms. Landier, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was going to say the consequence, if we answer the question in the way that you're wishing, is that there would be compensation for the taking.
Yes,
and that's really right. The Pandora's box, I think, that we're going to have to wrestle with.
Well, yes. However, those are issues, obviously, that for a jury, and the question becomes, do you impoverish a few people, 50 families, 20 families, things like that, in order to provide water for a city of 500,000, 600,000, or a city of Richmond, which is, 5,000 to 10,000. I think the modern philosophy, or the just philosophy, is if everybody's water bill goes up 5 cents a month to compensate these people for damages, then you're not opening up a Pandora's box. The user is paying for what they're getting.
Although in Chance it was the reasonable use and limited property rights, so you really are asking us to extend into a new area.
It was only limited because they said you didn't own to the center of the earth. So, and we're not asking that you own to the center of the earth. The deepest well, I think, probably in either one of these cases is probably 80 feet. So I'm not, we're not asking that you extend Chance. What we're saying is enforce Chance. Chance dictates the result here. We had a property, and if Chance people had a property interest to maintain a trespass action, and you have to have a property interest to maintain a trespass action, then that same property interest ought to be here, and it shouldn't matter whether it's airplanes taking your land and use of enjoyment, or having sewage dumped by your land that takes the land of use and enjoyment of your land, or whether it's the taking of the underground water. It's the use and enjoyment of the property that's being taken, and it doesn't matter the method of the taking, it's still a taking.
You've used your time, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.